Welcome to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammaker. In each episode, she'll talk with your favorite romantic suspense authors. They will take you behind the scenes of the writing process, giving excerpts from their writing, and share stories about their writing life.
Rising Danger by Jerusha Agin. It's up to a canine handler and her canine partner to stop a bomber before it's too late. Someone's planting explosives on dams in the Twin Cities, and Bristol Bachman and her bomb-sniffing dog must move quickly to find them before everything ends up underwater. That means relying on the dam's supervisor, an ex-boyfriend Bristol never thought she'd see again. Hopefully, Remington Jones has grown up from the rakish charmer she knew in her academy days, because lives now depend entirely on them. It's an environmental terrorist who wants the dams gone, and his bid to set the waters free has lethal consequences. When he sees Bristol and her canine working to stop him, he sets his sights on them. Can they evade him in a lethal game of cat and mouse and protect their cities from devastating destruction before the clock runs out?
Hi, and welcome to this episode of The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hammaker, and I'm so glad you joined me. Today I'm chatting with Jerusha Agin. She imagines danger around every corner, but this is very important. She knows God is there too. So welcome to my show.
Thank you, Sarah, so much for having me. It's such an honor to be here.
Thanks. And Jerusha was telling me she's a listener, too. So, yay, this is exciting. I haven't had a listener and an author on yet, so you're my first.
Yeah, well, I really do enjoy this show, and I was very excited the first time I saw that there was actually a podcast dedicated to Christian fiction and specifically suspense, romantic suspense, which I love to read as well as write, so...
I know, right? And as my audience knows, you mean I write romantic suspense, and I'm like, we need our own little show, and we need to really, because, you know, us romantic suspense authors, we're just awesome. Let's right. just face it, we're the best.
Exactly, of course.
So I know why I love to write romantic suspense, and some of my listeners have heard me talk about that, but why do you love to write romantic suspense?
Well, I think in part it's because I like to read it, you know, like we just said. I love to read it. I fell in love with the genre starting with Dee Henderson's books, the O'Malley series, you know, which are kind of iconic because they basically started our genre of romantic suspense. You know, prior to that, publishers didn't use that as a subgenre label. So that was really exciting because when I encountered those books, I just loved them. You know, I really loved the blend. I had been reading a lot of romance, a lot of contemporary romance at the time. And when I discovered Dee Henderson's, though, I just loved the addition of the suspense. That was just so cool because it was blending, I guess, what turned out to be two of my favorite elements in stories that really kept me entertained and excited about the story. So, yes, I really love having both those elements in a story. So I think I fell in love with it as a reader first. And then eventually I started wanting to write romantic suspense novels myself, in part because the first books I wrote were more romance, and they were women's fiction romance. And they were published as a three-book series called the Sisters Redeemed series. And I found that with each book I wrote in that series, I actually added more and more suspense elements, even though that wasn't technically supposed to be part of the story. So by the time I wrote the third book, I'd added enough suspense to it that it could really be categorized as romantic suspense. So after that series was done, I kind of took a step back, and I realized that, you know, since I apparently have this natural desire to add suspense and scary elements to all of my stories, I should probably switch to writing romantic suspense in the future, and that's what I did. So,
yeah. Sometimes our writing kind of tells us what to write, I think.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that interesting? Yeah, and I realized, you know, later that, you know, why I should have been writing suspense in the first place is that it it fits tendencies of my personality, because I do tend to be a fearful person, as my bio indicated, and I have a hyperactive imagination, so I'm really always imagining worst-case scenarios and danger. So I think writing romantic suspense in a way gives me a healthy channel for those tendencies as well. Instead of just freaking myself out in my daily life, I can actually put it in a book, you know, and have more control over it and have a positive lesson come out of it as well that teaches me, as well as hopefully readers, in dealing with fear and danger. So,
And I also love it because I get to research all the weird things that I kind of want to know.
Yeah.
And you know, if I just wanted to know them just because, that would be a little strange. But if I say, hey, I know this weird fact because I was researching it for a book, everyone's like, oh, okay.
Right.
Instead of just wanting to know, what's it like to be buried under dirt, for example. How long can you survive?
We're kind of a special different creature, I think, suspense writers.
Yes.
We kind of think differently, and yeah.
Although, as someone had posted on Facebook about looking for, I think, a specific dress or something, and she's like, okay, Facebook or Google, I bought the dress. You can stop showing me ads for the dress. And I was just cracking up because I'm thinking some of the things that I search for, like I needed to look for cars for someone to drive, and I wanted a specific type of car. And I don't usually go that deep, but for this I needed that. And so I'm looking and I'm thinking, yeah, they're going to be showing me all these luxury cars that I have no interest in buying,
right.
But I just spent 20 minutes drilling down on Lexus SUVs to figure out if that was the right car for this particular character. I crack up about some of the things that I look for.
I actually had that very same thing happen with the last book that I finished. I was looking for, again, the model of car that the guy would drive, which I don't usually get that, you know, necessarily specific with cars either, because I'm not really a car person, but I was like, okay, this is important. It fits his character. And yeah, I was searching the cars, and sure enough, they start showing me car ads. I'm like, I don't really care.
I know. I noticed, though, that they don't show me gun ads.
Yeah, I was thinking about that when you brought it up, and I'm like, yeah, because for Rising Danger, I had to research explosives a lot, and they didn't show me any ads about homemade bombs, you know, or anything like that.
Here, get your fertilizer here.
Right.
That's probably a good thing, though. That's probably a good thing, because then the FBI would be knocking on your door, wondering where your stockpile is.
Right.
And just for the record, we are not building bombs. We are talking about characters. Okay.
Exactly. It's fiction.
It's fiction. We're making this stuff up, but we want it based a little bit in reality so that it makes sense.
Right.
Yeah. I know. But it's scary how much we're followed around, and I just figured all the things I figured I'm just messing up everyone's, you know, all the algorithms for me. So they have no idea what I really want. Because, you know, like 70% of it is for, like, my fiction writing, and only 30% is me, but which is the real one? Which one might I actually buy?
Yeah, that's a good thing, too.
It is.
I was especially worried about it with Rising Danger, because not only was I researching homemade explosives, but I was also researching river dams, which are protected. So as a security risk, so I was kind of like, I hope, the FBI or whoever isn't combining my, you know, search history and looking at, oh, no, you know, is she going after the dams with explosives, which is what happens in my book, but I'm not doing it.
Yeah. No, your character is doing it, because, you know, our bad characters do bad things.
Yeah.
This is why it's romantic suspense. So when do you find time to write? How do you fit that into your life? Because not all of us are, I'm speaking for myself, I mean, I'm not a full-time fiction writer, so I have to fit it in as well. Where do you find the time?
Thankfully, I am able to write full time. And when I started out writing full time, I kind of railed against the idea of being bound to a rigid schedule. I wanted to kind of be, you know, flexible with my time to enjoy being self-employed and all that. But I actually found that being more free with my time meant I never got as much done as I should because
funny.
I was wasting a lot of that time. It's maybe just my personality, but I would let other things push into my writing time too much then because I didn't have this schedule. So then I decided I need to try using a structured schedule. And I found that actually that was more freeing for me because I was able to get more accomplished in the time I had, and it allowed me to prioritize my writing. But now things have kind of changed because I got a puppy. Yes. So, yeah, kind of goodbye scheduled writing time and a lot of my time completely. So so now I don't have those big chunks of uninterrupted time to write that I used to have in my schedule. So now I've had to try to learn to be more flexible and become better at using those smaller bits of time that I have. So I'm learning how to, like, brainstorm story ideas while I'm watching the puppy, and I'm even revamping my outlining process in an attempt to make it faster and easier to do in just snippets of time. So, yeah, basically I'm just trying to make progress however and whenever I can during this busier season of puppy rearing. So, yeah, and I've gained a lot more admiration for moms with little kids who somehow manage to still get writing done while they're raising kids. And I know you're one of those moms, right? You're a mom of four, right?
Four,
so
yep.
How do you manage that with four
Well,
kids?
Mine are actually older now, so it's easier. But when they were, I mean, I wrote two books when they were, and when they were little. There were nonfiction books, but, yeah. When they were babies, a couple of them were babies. And as a freelancer, you know, I had to write when I had time. And sometimes it was 10 minutes. Sometimes it was 20. You know, I've had 30 minutes. I felt like I'd won the lottery, you know. Right. It is a training thing. You just have to train your brain to not be distracted, right, about when you're there and you know you only have this much, it can be paralyzing to go, well, I got to check email. No, if you have that time, you can check email while you're, you know, holding a baby teething on your lap. I mean, you can. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have all your brain, but you need all your brain to write.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, I just had a, you know, with a puppy or a baby or whatever is distracted, you have to be able to, when you have that time, you have to just sit down and just write. And, you know, sometimes I have to start in the middle. Sometimes I had to start at the end. It didn't matter. I just had to write something. And just do it consistently, because I think, as you probably know, if I don't do it every day, if you don't do something enough for it to become a habit, when you get back to doing it again, it's like you're starting from scratch.
Yes, I'm definitely like that. Yeah.
Yeah, we just were away for a few days, and so I missed like 2 days of my writing time in the mornings. And so I sat down, I think yesterday, after missing two days, and I was like, what am I doing? I caught up on my outline. I mean, I caught up on my chapter summaries just to kind of, I didn't have a lot of time on Tuesday morning. So I was like, okay, I have 30 minutes. This is what I'm going to do, because I know I'm not going to get, you know, really any more new words here. I'll catch up, and then I'll be able to write today. And that helped. But I was like, man, I've only been out 2 days, and already I'm, like, losing muscle tone here.
Yeah, isn't that – that's hard, isn't it? That definitely happens to me, too. I just – yeah, I feel so rusty, and writing is just so much harder if I've taken a break just few days. But I do that a lot, unfortunately, especially lately, where I do have – big gaps in between when I write, and I know that's just making it harder.
It is, and sometimes I find that if you just can turn off all the other distractions, like when I have started getting up early and writing, I'm not really a morning person, but it's where it's because it wasn't getting done. I would say, oh, I'll write, but then I'd leave it until the end of the day. And we all know, for me, some people are like night owls and they can write into the night. For me, my brain is like done by like 8. I'm just like, okay, stop. Hello. We're not, no creativity going past this part. Yeah, so it was just really just kind of, you know, saying, okay, do we want this consistency? Do I want to write more books? If I want to write more books and I want to write them a little faster, I have to dedicate the time to do it. So, and then just not check my email. The only thing I open is Word.
Okay. Wow, you are really convicting me here, Sarah.
But I only do it for like an hour, maybe, you know, an hour and a half in the mornings, because that's all I got. And then I have other work, other freelance work, that I have to move on to, and other family obligations and stuff. But yeah, I find that it's been very helpful in actually getting some stuff done, which I feel better about. I feel more like myself when I'm writing. So.
Yeah, right. And it does, that effort and discipline it takes, I think, does pay off when you then have that satisfaction of knowing you're actually making progress and that you're, you know, actually writing, which is what us writers were created to do, right?
Exactly. I mean, I don't know how many times I can say I'm a writer if I'm not actually writing. So.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, not that you don't take a break and you edit and you do, you know, yeah, between books and stuff like that. But let's face it, you know, we all have our time wasters. And I just, like I said, about 6 months ago, well, more like 4 or 5 months ago, I was like, okay, I'm tired of my own excuses. So I had a choice. I could either still be tired of my excuses, or I could go to bed early and get up earlier and actually do something about it. So,
wow. I have considered doing that lately, but I don't know that getting up even earlier would probably kill me. So,
yeah. I just told myself, I'm going to try this. I'm going to try it for a week and see how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And see if I was actually more productive and felt better about myself and my writing. Anyway, so it worked for me. I mean, I know people, you know, you have to kind of find out what's that happy medium for you.
Right.
And sometimes I think we go through seasons. Right now you're in puppy season, so
exactly.
Enjoy the cuteness.
Right.
I mean, you know, embrace, enjoy. It's not going to last forever. You know, the dog will grow. Kids grow. You know, your circumstances change. So, kind of have to embrace that. So I think we have time for one more question. So let's talk about what is your favorite of your books that you've written. I think that might be a nice way to end the show.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's a tough call, of course, you know, picking your favorite children, right?
But yes. They're all my favorites.
Exactly. But I'd have to say my favorite of the books I've written so far would be This Shadow, which is book 2 in the Sisters Redeemed series that I mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my favorite for 2 big reasons. One, the heroine's spiritual journey and emotional epiphany actually moved me to tears as I wrote it. I usually try to feel what my characters are feeling as I write it. But hers was just that moment for her. I just really, really felt it with her. And the way it turned out, what the Lord gave me to write, it was just so powerful. It spoke to me so deeply that I was moved to tears as I wrote it. And then again, when I read it several times in the editing process, I had to keep reading it. It would keep moving me so much. So there was something about it that resonated really deeply, even with me as the writer, even though I knew what was, you know, coming and stuff. So
yeah.
I think it was just, you know, I won't give a lot away about it, but it's just the truth that God showed her, you know, through the story, his light in devastating darkness that she was going through just really had a huge impact on me, as well as that the heroine of the story. And then the second reason, and maybe the biggest reason that this story, that The Shadow, is my favorite, is because the hero, Nicanor is his name, he's my favorite hero of all time. And I'm not just saying that because he's my character. He's this great guy, and not in the way you might normally think. He's a tall, dark, and handsome tango dancer who's very brooding and troubled, but he has this sweet tenderness and a really fierce protective streak that the heroine brings out in him, and he's just a really great... he has a really great dynamic with the heroine, Oriana, who is his opposite in a lot of ways. She's very cheerful and happy, and he's sort of the opposite for much of the book. But he just was a really fun character to write as well, because he had a deep backstory and just a really deep emotional place he was coming from. And, so I love him. And I've heard from readers that they've fallen for Nicanor, too. And so he's really a big reason that I love that book best, even just because he was so fun for me to write and to get to know as a character.
Yeah, that's great. And that's a great way to end our show. We all go fall in love with some of Jerusa's characters. So thanks for being on my show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense. I'm your host, Sarah Hammerker, and I've been talking with Jerusa Agin, who imagines danger around every corner, but she writes wonderful, satisfying endings in her romantic suspense books. So stay tuned right after this interview for an excerpt from her Rising Danger romantic suspense.
Now an excerpt from Rising Danger by Jerusha Agin. The sound of water rushing over the falls reached Bristol's ears, swishing the anxiety in her stomach. Her gaze was pulled to the Mississippi River. She could see it clearly to the left of the building. The water was choppy, moving fast and disappearing behind the building where it crashed over the Minnesota Falls Dam with audible power. Her pulse ratcheted up. The water level looked higher than normal against the banks. They'd had so much rain this spring. If a bomb detonated here, now... It wouldn't. Toby would find it. Someone bumped against her arm as she reached the fringes of the fleeing crowd. A high-pitched sound cut through the shouts and voices. Bristol paused, heedless of the people brushing past. Was that crying? Toby perked his ears, and Bristol followed the direction of his gaze. A toddler stood in the middle of the streaming crowd, sobbing as people bumped into him. He could get knocked down and trampled. "Clear the way!" Bristol's shout and Toby's plowing body cut a path through the crowd. They reached the boy just when another panicked adult thudded into him. Bristol grabbed the child as he started to topple and hefted him in her arms. "It's okay, buddy." Bristol used her best soothing tone as the little boy sobbed in her ear. Toby charged ahead and led the way out of the crowd, probably as eager as Bristol to escape the jostling and bumping. "See the doggie? Look at the doggie." The boy stopped the painful screaming and sniffed, his blue-eyed gaze drawn to the black dog pulling them ahead. They emerged in the open air outside the fleeing mob. "Toby!" Bristol's one word brought Toby back to her side, the dog reaching his nose in the air to sniff the boy's dangling feet. Bristol spotted a female police officer posted at the entrance to the complex. Not ideal to take the child toward the bomb, but it was the fastest option when speed mattered. "Officer!" She moved toward the shout as Bristol headed her way. "Lost child?" Bristol nodded and handed the boy over. "Would you find his parents? And I need to get in. Explosives detection." Bristol pulled out her private investigator's dog handling license as ID.
"Go ahead."
The officer pointed toward the glass door she had been standing at before, the farthest left of the entrance doors. Must be locked from the inside or partitioned off, since none of the visitors were using it. "Thanks." Bristol walked quickly to the door just as a German Shepherd emerged from the crowd, an MPD officer in tow. The 40-something man's familiar sturdy build and 5'6" height that matched hers brought a smile to Bristol's lips. Officer Rick Miles and his canine, Duke. Her smile faded as quickly as it had come. She couldn't be sure what kind of reception she'd get from her former co-worker, even though they'd been close enough friends that he and his wife had hosted her for dinner a couple times. She opened the door and held it for the other canine team.
"Hey, Bachman, good to see you."
Miles gave her a smile as he passed through with Duke.
"You too, Miles."
Toby wagged his tail, but held true to his training and didn't try to smell the other dog as they followed Miles through the entryway and second set of doors. They rounded the barricade, blocking the entry from the escaping people, and stopped in the lobby where the crowd dwindled to a trickle as the remaining visitors exited.
"I'm glad the sergeant called the Phoenix Canine Agency to bring you in, too."
Mike's green eyes pulsed with his characteristic insatiable energy.
"Nick is out with an injury."
"Oh, no."
Heavy blow to the MPD bomb unit, losing the canine star of their most experienced detection team.
"Is it bad?"
"Just a sprain, training injury. I'm glad we have a backup now with your new partner."
Miles grinned at Toby.
"Me too."
Relief washed through her. Maybe Miles understood why she had left MPD's bomb squad to join the private canine security and detection agency owned by Phoenix Gray.
"So, what have we got here?"
Miles dropped his smile.
"I was told the threat indicated an intention to blow up the dam, so there could be one or more devices anywhere in the building, or in the dam itself."
Nerves twisted her insides. She'd hoped the target was the new visitor center, not the actual dam. She swallowed hard.
"Wouldn't that cause flooding?"
"Probably. The safety supervisor for the dam is supposed to meet us. That's me."
The masculine voice, with a hint of roughness, singed her ears. It couldn't be.
"Sorry to be late."
She turned to see the source of the voice.
"I was overseeing the evac."
Remington Jones stood 6 feet away, his sentence dying off as his gaze locked on her face. He'd grown a closely trimmed beard, and his golden brown hair was longer on top, but there was no change in those unmistakable chocolate brown eyes or the grin that slowly curved his mouth.
"Bristol Brockman."
The sound of her name on his lips stirred her nervous stomach as though fish decided to take a swim in the tension pooling there.
"You know each other?"
Miles cut in like a life preserver.
"Very well."
Rem gave her a too familiar grin, as if they were still dating and she hadn't learned his true character. She tightened her abs, forcing away her silly schoolgirl flutters. She may have fallen for him 6 years ago, but she never made the same mistake twice. Apparently, she needed to make that clear.
"You're in charge of dam safety?"
A pointed blow that was supposed to shoot down his grin.
"Surprises me, too."
He didn't miss a beat and kept the smile. They didn't have time for Remington's immaturity or his unreliability. "Officer Miles and I need to search the structure with our canines immediately."
Thanks for listening to The Romantic Side of Suspense with Sarah Hammerker. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. You can sign up to receive notifications of upcoming podcasts and listen to previous editions at sarahhammerkerfiction.com.